Welcome back to the advisor. Please do not forget to like and subscribe. I just want to say a quick thanks to Dr. Bradley Nelson, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio for your sponsorship. So, your body is talking, but are you actually listening? Today's guest has made it her life's work to decode the messages hidden in our aches, pains, and patterns so we can heal on our deepest level and unlock one of our greatest superpowers, intuition. Dr. Yvette Rose is a holistic counselor, international speaker, and author of over 21 books, including her groundbreaking Metaphysical Anatomy. She's taught in more than 43 countries, created powerful healing modalities like the Metaphysical Anatomy technique, and helped thousands worldwide release trauma they didn't even know was holding them back. In this conversation, we're going to explore how trauma blocks intuitive flow, how your body holds the keys to your inner guidance systems, and how you can start unlocking it today. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I am thrilled to be here and I really look forward to today's discussion.
Yes, oh my God, I have a question right off the bat. So you've dedicated your life to helping people heal and reconnect to their intuition. What sparked that journey for you? I just need to know.
That's a great question. So, Lisa, I'm going to flip this back and ask you a question, and let's see if you can relate and anyone else listening as well. Did you ever have an experience when you were a child and you maybe saw colors, maybe you heard voices, maybe you saw spirits, maybe you saw beings moving around? And maybe some of them might have felt scary and others might have felt quite intriguing and others maybe felt very familiar. Have you ever had an experience like that when you were specifically a child?
Yes, I had a family of ghosts. I called them ghosts, visit me in my bedroom. And I would see them and then I would hide under the covers. And then I would tell my family about it. And they're like, is she feeling okay? And they thought I had like a high fever or something. But they came back again and again and again and again and again.
Right there. Look, the opening that we all have, and that you also had as a child, because we're so receptive. We're in such a play state. We're so curious. We're so welcoming of this. We're so open-minded that these spirits can come through, that we don't have these filters or this judgment or this stress associated with seeing something beyond the naked eye. However, look at how that incredible openness, that receptive side of you was responded to. How
Yes.
did that make you feel?
Terrified. Yeah. I like
You
closed
shut
down.
down. Yeah, there's something wrong with what I'm seeing. I'm feeling rejected by my people. Therefore, I'm gonna shut this down because we often prioritize our connection with our family and with people that we perhaps look towards for guidance, right? We prioritize that because to be rejected in a family unit, that's something that can trigger almost the fear of dying response because of the wiring from our ancestry. Because if you were kicked out or bullied or you were the least favorite in a family back in the days, and you got kicked out, your ability to survive now has decreased because people lived in communities. People brought their talents and strengths together to survive. And so this triggers a very strong primal fear of rejection. That's why we will jump through fire hoops to not be rejected or to show up in ways that will, of course, will create approval rather than a rejection. And this is an incredibly powerful unspoken moment where we don't quite understand what happens, but our biological body just responds. And then the fear comes in and it shuts down. It's the same concept. When you're stressed, it's hard to make a decision. It's hard to think straight. It's hard to be in the flow. It's hard to be creative. I mean, that makes sense, right? Because of the cortisol, the frontal lobe, they're squeezing, we can't think properly, and we the body is not prioritizing things that is not going to give it immediate safety, whether that fear response is real or not. It's the feeling that the body is following, that it's responding to. So just that what we might think, oh, but they thought I was weird or something was off or they didn't believe me. That's a very significant moment. A moment like that can flip that switch and shut it down. What a lot of people don't realize is that we are all intuitive. We are all psychic. We are all mediums. It's just a matter of, would you like to reconnect to that? Would you like to tap back into it? It's not about being gifted. Some people are just born with these channels more open because they have family in their DNA lineage that consistently practice this. So it's almost like the biological gateway and the spiritual gateway for this is wired in so strong that it's almost just handed over to the next generation, and that path is beautifully opened up. So it's easy for the next generation to connect. Whereas if other ancestors also didn't practice that, then it's going to feel a little bit harder because that predisposition for how to get to this intuitive state hasn't been layered in as strong, but it's still there. And that's why it can feel it's a little bit harder for me to connect. Now, of course, there's a spiritual aspect to this as well, but that's not really what the problem is. With our I always see our soul and our consciousness as being actually quite perfect. It's divinely connected. It holds all this divine wisdom. It's the body that can cause the disconnect because here we host the ego, we host anger, we host hormones and all these heightened emotions that can create these negative responses that sets off a vibration that is not in alignment with the soul. So there's an incongruency between these two aspects because we have the consciousness of the soul, we have the consciousness of the biology. I mean, the body is made up of cells, it has its own consciousness, and that consciousness is connected to survival, competitiveness, having children or it's very primal. So it's just basic needs. It doesn't care about community. It doesn't care about love or anything that normally the consciousness would absolutely welcome, acknowledging oneness. Body, I want to be individual. I want to survive. I need to be seen, right? So there is that split in vibration as well. And that's why even just the feeling of peace can heal the body. And this has been, and research shows that. Whereas anger can damage the body. We know that as well. So it just shows you the different types of emotions. The more positive, the more open the body can be, the more receptive that we are, the more relaxed we are. Have you ever had a moment, Lisa, where you're looking for something and you're getting so frustrated and you cannot find it? And then suddenly, when you're super relaxed, it's like you're just intuitively just guided, and then somehow, you just find it on the day when you're super relaxed, not really intending finding it, but then you find it.
That happens
Right?
all the time, all the time.
That's a really powerful example of what can happen when you are relaxed. That's when the information can start to flow, where in our thoughts, we're getting lost in it and we can follow it in a much more clearer way. Now, here's the catch. Intuition is connected to your emotions. Now, when I say that, people always think, how did you bring these two together? Remember, we actually do need the human body to a certain extent to be able to decode these intuitive hits that we're getting, whether you intuitively hear, feel, see, or sense. Now, how does that work? Again, touching back on what I already briefly, gently introduced. It's hard to feel intuitive. It's hard to feel and listen to messages coming into the body when you're angry or stressed or in a low vibration
Totally.
versus when you're relaxed, right? Then it flows. Now suddenly it starts to come in. The way that we normally set up our lives is to actually not feel. I mean, we build all these crutches, all these coping mechanisms around ourselves to not feel our emotions. So now we're shutting down the very gateway that we need to connect to our emotions. Now that's a bit of a challenge, right? If our life is set up to avoid feeling, We don't like feeling negative emotions. We negative bias. So we kind of like we there's a part of us that prioritizes it, but it's a part of us that doesn't want to live and bathe ourselves in that either. So we're living in this constant conflicting duality. And the reason why I say emotions are important when we want to connect to our intuition, when we feel information coming from outside, in one of our previous my previous talks as well, and I think I touched on this with you as well. Have you ever seen someone and they're sitting on a bench, you can't see their face, but there's something about this person where you can just feel something is just not right. You start to feel maybe down, heavy, or sad, or something in you shifts to the point that it convinces you that something is not right with a person in their state, right? So, well, where did that information come from?
Yeah.
Where did it come from? So this is the electromagnetic fields between us in our body, where because energy flows where our focus goes. And so now where our focus goes, it's picking up that energy, it's reading it. It's an instinctive response to constantly read our environment. We don't realize that. And we read our environment through our senses and through the electromagnetic field that gives feedback of the data coming back from our environment through to our cells. And these cells are eliciting certain emotions, states, images, colors, and it compares that data with our subconscious mind. So meaning information that we've had prior experiences with, because otherwise, how else do we recognize it? And then it comes forward and it formulates the perfect message to give us feedback in terms of what it is that we're feeling. Now you see the importance of needing to be able to feel your emotions so that we can feel clearly that feedback, because that's how we interpret it. And that is why empaths tend to be excellent psychics. They tend to be excellent intuitive channels because they're so sensitive to their environment. They're incredibly sensitive to their emotions, right?
Yes.
That's why it's easy for them to feel and connect. And when I start to explain this to people, that's when they have their big aha moments. And you know what? We talked earlier about how I work with people and how I help them open up their intuition. And we talked about this book because this is how I made this connection when I was writing this big book, Metaphysical Anatomy, and helping people to decode the emotional stress with the elements that they're having. But noticing also that the more we started to address these emotional blocks, not only did parts and aspects of their body improve, their intuition improved. Messages came forward clearer. And I'm thinking, wow, isn't that wild? Why is that? And this is how I started to understand by looking at where and how does this information come from? Why is it that if we heal this trauma or connecting, sometimes we have a fear with God? Because what people don't realize is when we have a fear of spirit or God, or we reject that, it's actually us rejecting our mother as a child, because your mother is perceived as God. That is the programming taking place because she's your source of everything, like the holy grail of everything. And if that connection is influenced or traumatized, you will have a fear of connecting. You will have a fear of connecting. She's your first reference of connecting. And I've helped so many people open up their intuition by purely simply just attaching and connecting to that point and resolving it. But of course, if they have other trauma points or stressors that also needs to be addressed, then that also needs to be looked at. Like in my example, I was raised Christian, but I was raised with a drunk drug addict father who had the Bible under his arm. So you can only imagine the toxic wiring and the nastiness that came with that. And I mean, I thought God was a jerk. I'm like, oh my God, this man just wants to punish me. I'm full of sins. I was born dirty. I was born. And I'm like, who wants to praise that? You know, so this deeply affected my relationship with God, my relationship with all that there is. And I absolutely rejected that. But as a result, also, I rejected anything within me that could have felt connected to outside information as well, because it's that sensory system that we shut down. We ignore it. But it's always been there from the day that you were born. And what that means is we can always reconnect back to that. So the less we can be in a fight or flight state, the clearer we can think, the clearer we can interpret our emotions, and the more we let go of needing to numb ourselves and embrace emotions actually as a positive experience, even though it can make you feel negative sometimes. I mean, it makes you feel negative because it's actually telling you there's something that's going on that we need to address. And if we address it, we can feel great again. Isn't that amazing? Like, if we could just change our mind programming to see emotions in that way, 90% of the world would be thriving right now, because it's the pain sometimes that the emotions create that we're avoiding and we don't know how to deal with. Maybe we don't have support to deal with that as well. I mean, I understand. I've absolutely been there, but this would be a hypothetical great scenario. Now, what we also happens is we lose also trust in our intuition. I mean, our intuition is deeply connected to our inner voice as well. This is also that part of us that's connecting to our environment unfiltered in a way that we trust it so much that even though something else or other information or people's influences are coming in, we can actually separate the two. And what happens is that we lose that because of overthinking and because of logical conditioning, which what you saw what your parents did, right? So or family. And what happens is we it also triggers that sheep herding effect, right? Because society prioritizes logic over intuition. And this is also what can cause people to actually second guess their inner knowing. Because when we look at how, for example, the left brain, which is our logic brain, dominates over the right brain, which is our intuition, it shows that in modern education. But what that also shows is from the age when we are born until the age of three, we are in the right brain. We are in a very emotional, gestalt experienced state. So that means eye contact, voice, sensations, feelings, how you would touch, all of this is being wired directly into the nervous system and into the vagus nerve. So all these prior responses are now being wired in. And the more these sensory systems were nurtured, loved, and cared for, and lovingly handled to the best, of course, the caretaker's ability, the more intuitive a person actually also can be. Why? Because they were raised with a foundation of feeling safe. Less likely to go into that fight and flight, being able to question that much more clearly because it's not coming up with all these triggered, chaotic stressors of being hit or being yelled at, being screamed at, being locked in a room or, so this makes a really big difference. And on top of that, the reticular activating system as well, our RAS, it's constantly filtering also our reality based on logic. And it also suppresses intuitive signals because the RAS is in the back of the brain. And this is what's looking for people and circumstances and dynamics that will resonate with how you feel. So if you feel down, if you feel depressed, if you feel stressed, it's going to look for these people and circumstances, and it's going to filter out signs and signals and perhaps people who could give you intuitive messages, verbal or nonverbal. Sometimes you talk to someone and then suddenly you just have this aha moment. It's like something just shot through and you just have this insight and then you feel clear about something that you've been having a question about. And normally that can be people that are so clear in themselves that they call you into that clarity. And that's where you have that moment of this information just comes in. So the RAS also filters these type of people out. Or circumstances that would have made you feel very relaxed, very calm, so that the information can come in. Because our emotions can block that, especially if we have a negative association with our emotions. And that nervous system, I mean, that dysregulated nervous system is just much of a culprit as well. Because if you feel unsafe in situations, your intuition will be clouded by fear. Because trauma keeps that amygdala in that hyper alert state. And it's really hard then to distinguish in that moment, is it fear or is it true guidance? And this now brings me to the next question. How many people, including myself, have asked, how do I know what is my intuition and perhaps a genuine something from my past that's now being triggered by my environment or by the question that I'm asking. And something that I personally have noticed for myself, if you feel stressed when the answer comes, but the stress feels familiar, but you still feel that uneasy, familiar feeling, for me, it's always been connected to the past. But
Okay.
when stress comes in and it feels really uneasy and it feels foreign and it feels like, damn, I don't know how to interpret this, then I know my intuition is speaking to me loud and clear too. And if I don't listen, it gets to the point where my gut, or not my gut, it's more my stomach, in my solar plexus, it will have an ever so slight vibrational effect. It will actually vibrate. Just ever so slightly. And when that happens, it's a hard slam dunk no. That is a
Wow.
no. So this is how I have learned how to listen to my intuition and to help myself to understand the difference between fear and something that actually happened. How many of you, and you as well, Lisa, have had a moment where you had this warning come in and you did it anyway, and then something bad happened, and you sit back and you reflect and you think, I should have listened to my intuition, but we didn't. So these are the moments that we need to take note of. Document what did it feel like? What did that warning signal feel like? Remember that, because this is a clear signal of a hard no, don't do it. Or maybe rethink it. Maybe something needs to be adjusted. It doesn't necessarily mean a hardcore no. Maybe it just means something needs to be changed a little bit, right? So this is a very powerful, how can I say, just pattern that I picked up on as being 100% accurate for me consistently every single time. And a lot of people also ask me on top of that. So when we feel our messages come through, have you ever had a moment where a message comes in and you're like, oh, I feel something coming in. Something is trying to say something to me, but I can't interpret what that is, right? We can't find the words. We can't put our finger on what that is. And sometimes when that happens is a message is coming in and it's trying to elicit emotions and states to decode that message, but we haven't had here. We haven't had prior experiences enough to be able to decode that message, or the emotions that it needs to connect to or elicit is being triggered, and it's bringing up unresolved trauma, or it's bringing up numbness, because that's our default state when we want to feel a certain specific type of emotion that we have stress associated with, and we go into the freeze shutdown response, and we just can't quite put our finger on what that message is. That is why it's so incredibly important to learn to become still, to become quiet. But listen, here's the other challenge now, because I know people are going to sit there and think, I hate meditating. I hate silence. I hate being where I have way too much time
You have
to
to face
think.
the
And that,
noise, yeah.
right? And that was me. That was me. I can relate to that. Put me in a place where I have to meditate. Woo, I would be fidgeting in a minute. And then 2 minutes later, I would be feeling highly irritated, like really irritated. Like I would get up and just walk out. I'm like, I'm going to go have a coffee instead. Like I couldn't give two shits about this. I'm just not for me. And what I realized for me personally was when I went quiet, that's when the pain came up. I didn't have my distractions. I couldn't access my coping strategies to keep me out of these uncomfortable feelings. So I
Right.
really had to learn, how do I deal with these uncomfortable feelings? And if you are an empath, meditation is the worst thing that you can do. It feels like, and that's why it feels like self-punishment. Empaths should walk or have another sensory activity that they can combine meditation with. And that's when you're going to go into that nice theta state, which is our intuitive state. That's why children, from when they are born until the age of three, they are in a theta state. They take in everything, but they're also in that wave of, I allow everything to come in and I can connect. So if you want to practice and improve your intuition, do You can elicit the theta brainwave state. And the closest brainwave method to do that is to breathe in the nose, out the nose 13 times, three sets. Hold the last breath as long as you feel comfortable. Exhale out your nose. And when you're done, you're in a really nice Zen state, and it's much easier to connect, right? So these are all very important points to take into consideration. So what I realized for myself is, because when my husband's like, "You never meditate, you will feel so much more relaxed when you meditate." And I said to him, "Well, actually, in the morning when I go for my power walks, I go into my meditative Zen state. That's when I
Right.
breathe. That's when my cords go into the earth. That is when I connect. That's when I send all that bad junk and energy just down into the earth, is when I actually do my power walk. I cannot sit still and meditate. It's not for me. It's just not for me. And if you don't listen what your nervous system needs in order to get to your safe, quiet place, you're going against what actually needs to happen so that your body can regulate. Sometimes what common logic knows is not what the nervous system needs, right? So we really have to listen, what does my body need? So if you're an empath, maybe slowly walk on grass while you're meditating. Maybe have a squeeze stress ball, something like, something that can keep give you a sensory effect, right? So, or maybe you can have your feet in the water or in the swimming pool while you meditate. But have that extra something, and you're going to see your whole experience with meditation completely changes. Completely changes. So this is what I have learned about intuition, opening it, and how to stay in that state. But of course, I come out of it as well. Why? Because life has stress in it. So of course it pulls you out of that nice flow state. But here are already excellent ways for you to gently get back into that theta brainwave state, in the nose, out the nose. Maybe if you find meditation is really hard for you, then do something else along with meditation, right? So just even sitting in the park with your feet on the grass, just slowly moving your feet side to side, just little micro movements, and then meditate. That is perfect for a lot of people as well. So if you have a heightened sensitivity to emotions, especially when you have triggers coming up, that's going to be the best way forward for you. So that there's some golden nuggets there that I hope can help a lot of people.
That's amazing. I know for me, when trauma started releasing from my body, I started getting messages coming in, but I didn't know what they meant. It was like, what are they telling me to do? A recent one was like telling me to take down a post that I did because it wasn't in alignment with what I was trying to get out, but I didn't know, and I had to decode it. So how long does it take for someone to start releasing and then getting these intuitive downloads? Like, is it a big process? And how can our listeners start the process today?
That's a great question. So for me, what I have found is the more we can be in a state of serenity, zenness, of course, the easier our intuition is going to come forward. But that's really difficult in today's society. And even for me, even for the best of the best out there, a lot of us, we practice. We do practice on a regular basis. Like when I work with clients that morning, I do my theta breath work state, right? In the nose, out the nose. I imagine all my worries, everything that's going on with me is just going from my feet down into the core to the center of the earth. And it's just being dumped there. I just completely energetically detox so that I can allow myself to be a pure, clear channel. And when I connect as well, it's a clear boundary for me that this is not about me and how I feel and my judgment. This is about how the client feels. Because the best advice that I can give is to do regular exercises. When you do want to connect, get yourself into a calm state first. I personally would never ask an intuitive question if I didn't do something to just ground a little bit. I would be, yeah, I even for me, I wouldn't answer a question. I have so many people flying questions at me. Oh, what do you think this is? Oh, what do you think that is? Oh, this is that. And I'm like, well, I don't know. And it's true, I don't know, because I haven't connected and I refuse to answer that question if I'm not in a relaxed state, because I don't want to send someone on the wrong path or say something that can be harmful We want to be constructive. So what helped for me is, like I said, that connection. But then having that clarity, it's important to have that nailed down, the pattern of when is it a fear and when is it a true intuitive hit that you're getting. Look at your history, look at your pattern, look at what did you hear, feel, see, or sense, and document that and start to learn and understand how does your body react and respond when you do ask a specific question. That's really important. That's the only way that you're going to start to get to know yourself, right? So get to know yourself and welcome your emotions. They welcome them with loving kindness, because these emotions, as much as we try to suppress them, they're also going to help you to live your best life. You can't be happy or search for happiness if you're suppressing your emotions, because you're going to be suppressing happiness as well. You're going to be suppressing everything. Is that overcompensating reaction that we have that we've now learned and become so used to? So start to learn to embrace how you feel, because it's not evidence of being a failure. It's not evidence of what you're doing wrong. It's evidence of your body being ready to heal and saying, I need to let this go. I don't know how to cope with this anymore. Let's regulate together. Let's let it go so that we can get to the end goal, which is for some people, maybe happiness, peace, balance. I don't know. But we all have an end goal of what we're looking for, what we want to feel. But you can't feel that if you're holding on to the pain. It completely cancels out the outcome. And that's why we keep recreating people and circumstances that's going to hold together the trauma and the distress that you're feeling. And that goal is going to consistently make you feel that it's evading you, when it's actually not. It's just our fear and our willingness to want that end goal needs to be stronger than the stress and the pain that we're feeling. And sometimes people need to be pushed into a crisis to value that end goal more than the coping strategies that they're holding on to. I mean, that's me. That was me several times. So I understand. I'm not preaching to the choir here. Let me be absolutely clear. I mean, that absolutely was me. And this is what I would advise to people at this point, is just really simple, basic exercises. If meditation is uncomfortable, that's okay. It was uncomfortable for me too as well. So do an extra activity along with meditation, and you're going to see, you're going to drop into that flow state so much faster. You're going to love it. Absolutely love it. Especially if you are a very highly sensitive person, it's going to make a really big difference.
Beautiful. So, Dr. Yvette, where can people find out more about your work?
Great question. So you can come to Instagram, Dr. Yvette Rose Official. On YouTube, I am at yvettevideos.com. My website is metaphysicalanatomy.com. And also, if you guys love free stuff, you can grab your free copy of Restoring the Emotional Body at yvettefreebook.com. It also comes with a guided healing session, which is a video recorded session. So here you can do the meditation in the book by yourself, or a friend can talk you through it. Or you can come and join the video recording if you would like to start working through some blocks. And you can use that as a great example to start work through your intuitive challenges, or your fear of feeling, or maybe your fear of change. Whatever it is that you feel stuck in your life, it will be incredibly, incredibly helpful.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being here today. Do you have any last
Thank
minute
you.
thoughts on today's topic?
That's a great question. So for me, what I had to learn, and what I hope a lot of people can take away from this, is that at the end of the day, your truth was given to you, and the ability for you to have your own truth to guide you to where it is that you want to be in your path, right? To follow your true northern star. And the power of just not allowing people's words and actions to sway you from that's going to open up a whole new chapter. And it did for me as well. And I wholeheartedly invite you to start to ask yourself, where did I give my truth, my inner voice, and that power away to someone else? And start to call that power back to you. Call your voice back to you, and call your future and your path back to you.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Mic drop. Did you hear that, guys?
Yes,
Take your power back. That's when the changes start to happen. Go grab a latte, go for a walk in the park, take your shoes off, and start listening. Thank you so much for being here. For more, stay tuned for the advisor. And you just heard from Dr. Yvette Rose. all the way from the UK. We're going to have all of her links in the show notes for easy access. Take care, everyone.